are tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hey, what's going on, beautiful people? Welcome. It's Thursday. We are here inside the Black Actors Studio. I'm your host, Danny Royce. And joining me today is an incredibly talented queen. You've seen her on Hulu's Light as a Feather, FX's Atlanta, BT's American Soul, Fox's Star, and most recently, Sci-Fi's Vagrant Queen, which is a space epic series. I'm excited to get into all that with her. The Black Actors Studio is very proud to have Miss Adrienne Rae. How you doing?
Thank you. Hi, I'm amazing. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. How's quarantining going for you over there?
It's so close to my normal life.
Yeah.
So it's not that different of a change, just home workouts are different. So
home workout, hey.
Yeah.
You gotta love them though sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think I want to say thank you for joining me, joining in inside the studio. It's a pleasure to have you. And congratulations on Vagrant Queen. Before we get into the interview, I just want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about the series.
Well, the series is a space opera. It's fun. It's lighthearted. It's about a young queen who she's cast out and she becomes a scavenger because her whole monarchy is overthrown by the Republic government. Mm-hmm. And the show kind of starts off with a place where this young queen, she's been living her best life. She's been out here just chilling, doing her scav thing, and then she finds out that her mom is still alive. So from there, it catapults this whole journey into finding her mother.
Awesome. Wow. Okay, cool. Well, we'll get into more of that later on in the show. But first, as always, we like to start off at the beginning here in the studio. Where were you born?
Seaford, Delaware.
Delaware. Oh, okay. All right. And how was the family dynamics growing up with your parents? Did you have any siblings?
Oh, yeah. So my family dynamics is very interesting. I have a huge family. I have 8 siblings. I have 20 aunts and uncles. My mom is one of 14, and they're all by the same parent. Okay. So family's big, family's very important. And so I have like 50 some cousins.
Oh,
it's
oh wow.
It's a lot. I have more that are popping up now, but my growing up was fun. You know, my town is very small. It's like population 6,000-7,000.
Okay,
like,
wow.
2 or 3 stoplights in the town. Everybody knows everybody. So it's very different than, you know, where I am now. I'm in LA now. So
right, yeah. Exactly. And mm-hmm. So did you have any nicknames growing up?
Yes. My nickname is Bird.
Oh, Bird.
Yeah, Bird is my nickname. My mom still calls me that. She's like, Bird, come here. But now it's the thing because she also calls my little sister that. And I'm like, Mom, you can't just give my nickname.
Adopted nicknames and stuff.
Yeah, so she just tries to, like, no, she's Birdie. No. She's Jay Bird. No, I'm Bird. I'm the only Bird.
Where did that come from? Or is it just something that just kind of popped out?
It comes from, like, I used to be very, very skinny. Mm. And I used to just be running around. And, like, my mom used to say I used to go 100 miles per hour all the time. So she was like, I'm flying like a bird, like through everything.
Okay, I understand. I get that. So growing up, where were some of your favorite TV shows and films growing up that inspired you?
Growing up, I didn't know I wanted to be an actor. So mm-hmm. I liked TV shows. There were certain shows that I liked, but it wasn't many that like inspired me. It was more so like, ooh, I like that.
And yeah. Right.
I liked movies like, you know, Stomp the Yard was fun.
Stomp the Yard.
Yeah, that was real fun. I liked it. You remember Theta. Like, I really liked that. Because I remember my sister was super into it. You know, she's older, so she was super into it. And, you know, so we had that going on.
Yeah,
but I didn't spend a lot of time watching TV growing up. I was outside. I'm from the country. I used to be outside chasing boys like actually like chasing them to beat them up and, you know, running races. I used to race people with no shoes on outside. Like, I can beat you.
Right.
So, that's more so what I did.
They don't know nothing about that nowadays. I don't know nothing about going outside. Or really not, no amount. Yeah, so and as in schooling and all that stuff, as you mentioned, you didn't really, you know, grow up wanting to be an actor. And a lot of people don't. You just fall into it or, you know, circumstances happen. I say you always end up where you should be. So, but you do have, you know, two bachelors in science areas. So talk to us a little bit about that and what you originally intended for your life and how fate said nope.
Like, no, you tried it. Originally, like, since I was five, I have an uncle, my Uncle Vernon, and he was going to school to be, like, when I asked him, he said to be a cardiothoracic surgeon. So then I was like, okay, I'm going to go to school to be a cardiothoracic surgeon. And I just was following that. And every year I was in school, we have, like, state testing, and I would always test really high in science. Mm-hmm. And I got this offer from University of the Sciences when I started applying to colleges. And I really liked the school. I really, like, took to it. So I majored in physician assistant studies and medical laboratory science. But originally, I was just PA. And I had taken some classes, and I took hematology and, I took hematology. And my teacher was like, you're really good at this. You should look into clinical laboratory science. And I was like, nah, I'm going to be a doctor. Cardiothoracic surgeon. And she was like, you would just have to take like a couple more courses this year and then courses next year. And I was like, okay, well, no. And I took parasitology. And then I was really good at finding, you know, this is really geeky, but I was really good at finding like parasite eggs and all that stuff and identifying them. Yeah, pinworms, all those nasty things. But I was very good at identifying them. And they were like, seriously, just come on, just take these classes and double major. And then I double majored, and actually that's the field that I actually practiced in for a little while, was the clinical laboratory science. So when you get your blood taken, or they take that urine sample and send it to the lab, and someone's telling you, they're trying to tell the difference between a cold and, you know, cancer, they were sending it to us, to me, and I'm counting those individual cells and looking for certain stuff and diagnosing and telling the doctor later.
That's crazy. And then unbeknownst to you, like, ending up on sci-fi with all, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy how it comes full circle. So tell us a little bit about, like, when you got into acting, and then when you decided, okay, I'm going to go full throttle with this.
I got into acting around 2015, 2016, and I had been training with my mentor, Carl Payne, and I was training with him, and he was teaching me, like, the Stanislavski method, Stella Adler, you know, the theater foundation, and he wouldn't let me audition for stuff yet until I was ready, and then I auditioned for Kenya Moore's pilot, Life Twirls On. Okay. And I booked it. So that was my first role that I've actually booked ever. Wow. And I remember being on set, and I was working in the lab and on set, and I was on set for like 15 hours. And I was like, I love this. I was still ready to keep going. Like, we could shoot all day. That's fine.
Right.
But when I was at the lab, I could be there for 2 hours, and I'd be like, bruh, what time is lunch? Like, I'm ready for this break. So that's when I knew, like, that's my passion. That's what I want to do. And then from there, you know, I kept working at it. And then I kept having a recurring dream, which is really interesting. I had this recurring dream. And then divinely, I got a free trip to L.A. And then within 10 days of being in L.A. on that free trip, I found a manager. And that's, like, unheard of. It's like, right. You know. Had to be divine. So yeah, and then I took the leap of faith when I moved here.
Okay. And you were, that was like 2015, you said?
2016?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, happy anniversary if it's coming up. My 5 years are coming up this year. So.
Mine is July 4th. When's yours?
June 25th.
Oh, we came close. It was close.
We came close. Yes, ma'am. So for your first work, your first character ever, what was it like diving into that character, learning that character, and then bringing that character to life?
Well, my first work outside of Lake Chorgon was Burning Sands. Mm-hmm. And diving into her was fun because it was like I had friends that kind of acted like her. I knew people who were like the role of Candy. And I had Nafisa there, and she's great. Nafisa's amazing. So we got to bounce our energy off each other, our East Coast energy, Philly energy off each other.
Right.
And it was really fun. So that one wasn't too difficult to dive into because I have so many references. I think the ones that are more difficult or, you know, you find challenges with are things like Alita, where she's an alien coming from a monarchy. I'm like a human coming from, you know, not much, not a monarchy. Right. Right. It's so many different things you got to pull from.
Right. No, I definitely understand that for sure. And is there something, like, what do you do to prepare? Like, what are some of your rituals to prepare for an audition, so to say?
For an audition, you know, I get the sides. I read them immediately. And I don't start breaking them down until I read them a certain amount of time. And then from there, then I'll start breaking them down and going through the scene work. I do scene work before I do memorizing lines. So I want to make sure that I know what the scene is about, who, you know, this person is, what they're trying to get, what's the point of the scene, all of that stuff before I'm trying to memorize some lines. Because I feel like even if I flip like a line or say something wrong, if the emotion is there, then it would come through regardless.
Right. 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 That's
so
true.
So I do that first, and then, you know, I do all my work, all my prep work, and when I get time for my audition, I got my own playlist that just uplifts me. That may or may not be on there.
What is on there?
Savage may or may not be on there.
Of course.
But yeah, Diva by Beyonce may or may not be on there, but I just, you know, I put myself up and then I do that while I'm getting ready. And then if I have to drive there or something like that, I have certain, I'll like listen to certain songs that put me in the mood of this first scene. That's like the most important thing to me. I don't talk to anybody an hour before an audition. Like my phone's on Do Not Disturb. Even my mom, I'd be like, Mom, not right now.
Nah, I feel you.
I put, like, if it's a sad song, I put something that really, you know, resonates with me and helps me, like, be in that moment so I don't have to get there and, you know, the nerves or anything like that that you get doesn't overwhelm you. You're already in that space and I have music to lean on and go in there and, you know, try to have fun.
Go in there and have fun, right? Solve their problems, right?
That's what we have to remember. We get so scared. We got to remember, right. Like, they need us and we need them just as much.
Yeah, exactly. And that'll ease your mind a lot more. I'd like to say thank you for joining me again. And also thank you for everyone who's watching right now. And a big shout out to Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro for allowing me to bring these amazing guests week in and week out and share their stories with you. If you'd like to catch the full season one of Inside the Black Actor Studio, you can check it out on www.theonchannel.com. And you can binge that while you're chilling at home. And so right here with Adrian Ray. So I want to get back to in some of your credits here. So Atlanta, let's talk about Atlanta. How was that being on that set?
Oh, good. I love them. I love the cast. I love the crew. It was so much fun. It literally was so much fun. And to this day, like, I'm still in touch with, like, the people who helped me get dressed and, you know, like nice. The costume, the makeup, all of them. Like, I just really, really love them. And it's such a great environment. And it's the most beautiful thing where it's like beautiful Black people, all talented in their own different aspects. And then they all come together and make this really dope project.
Yeah.
And you know, it's the energy on that set is like, we're going to be good. We all know what we can do and what we can do. We're going to be good. And it's like everybody puts in their own creativity, whether it's from makeup, whether it's the actors, whether it's from the set department, they all put in this creativity. And it's nice to have, you know, all of that flowing because sometimes it's like, right. Only do this, stop. But this is like very collaborative and right. It's really nice.
That sounds really, really one nice. Of your favorite memories on set.
My favorite memory on set. Let's see. I was in the makeup trailer and Donald walked in with this really dope sweater on. And I was like, bruh, don't put that sweater down. It'll come back missing. And he was like, oh, you want this sweater? Here, you can have it if you want. And I was like, really? I can have it? I didn't.
Wow.
But I was low-key wanted to.
You didn't take it?
I didn't take it. It was fly. It was another memory. Like, I was at the rap party, and, you know, it's Donald Glover. It's Atlanta. They had, like, the ice sculptures and stuff. They had a lot of stuff at the rap party and at the premiere, and it was really, really nice. And I walked up, and I was walking past Donald. I was going to, you know, say hi. And I didn't know that he would remember me, but he was like, Adrian! And I was like, Donald! And he was like, we were just talking about you. And he's pointing to the, like, owner of FX.
Oh,
we were
wow.
just talking about you. And you're seeing, you're going to love the show. You're going to love it when you see it. And I was just like.
Nice. That's awesome. Making, I mean, you don't, not only as actors, you know, and entertainers, we make, help people, our viewers have to make memories, but also the people we work with. You know, is yeah. the memories for life, they'll last for a lifetime. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
And so Fox Star, okay, working on Star, okay. First off, was it what you expected to work on Star?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It was you know, I don't know if I came in with expectations of, like, I don't know. When I go to set, I don't come in with certain expectations. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you always go in expecting, you know, respect and, you know, creativity and things like that. And I definitely got those things. But in that aspect, I guess it was more than I expected because, you know, everybody was really nice. They were really nice and really supportive. And, you know, working with Queen Latifah. I was working with Queen Latifah.
Queen, come on.
And Jude and Ryan and Brittany and, you know, it was just, it was so funny because, you know, my character is, she out here doing the most.
Right.
She was doing the most and the girls had to dislike me. But, you know, completely off camera, they were just so sweet and it wasn't one of those, like, I'm a character, I'm going to hate you type things. It was
right.
It was really nice. So I'm like, I really don't mean to hit you. I really don't mean to hit you. But, y'all, I'm sorry.
Wow. Well, yeah, Star, I mean, amazing. It will be missed.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the announcement that, you know, it was the last season and all that stuff? Or did you want more Star?
I did. And I felt like the way it ended, they needed another season to, you know, tie up some loose ends that wasn't tied. It was very, like, a open-ended ending.
Yeah.
I did want more, but...
Well, I mean, I hear Lee Daniels has some ideas up his sleeve, so we'll see legacy. We'll see about that. So when you were on American Soul, did this bring back some nostalgia as far as, like, the music, the era, anything like that?
It was so nice because I really love older music, jazz and, you know, things in that realm. And American Soul was really nice because it's like my episode was a period piece.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to do a little accent and, you know, my clothes are cool. So it was because it was cool to, like, I got to look back and we were doing the scene by the jukebox. And I was like, look at this jukebox. Look at it. I'm just happy to be here. And, you know, the clothes, the fitting where the dresses were just so different. I'm like, I would have loved to be able to dress like this every day. Like, if this was it's our normal dress, I would have been like, oh, this is what, let me put on my dress today. Like, it was nice. So yeah, it was mad nostalgia. It was really, really good. I loved it.
That's awesome. Are there any challenges that you face now in your career? Whether it be, you know, in creative, on the creative side, on set or anything like that, that you face and that you, like, are trying to get over?
I think there's challenges with, you know, sometimes, not for me, but sometimes that there's challenges with interacting with some of the people that, you know, put on shows and things like that, and they might not necessarily know things that are okay or things that are funny or, you know, in the African-American community.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm just like, you know, like it was like that meme when someone said a black guy got arrested because he said he was gonna blow the bathroom up. But we all know that it don't mean like that. But it was like it's sometimes some of those things, and then And then as you know, as a woman, sometimes you have the challenges of just making sure your voice is heard. I've been I've been very, very blessed to be able to work with people who, you know, see women as equals, and they actually listen and ask for your input. So I've been blessed with that, but I know that there are times when I have felt like, oh, I have something to say. And, you know, because of the culture that you're used to, you kind of get scared, like, should I say this? But luckily, I am able, when I talk, they're like, yeah, come on, let's hear it, that's great. But yeah, some of those challenges are...
Yeah, just being heard and stuff. Well, which is, you know, they're having a lot of progress, you know, for people of color, for women on screen and behind the camera, which is great. We still have a long way to go. But what would you say is one of your most, besides Vagrant Queen, your most difficult character that's like completely opposite of you?
Perry.
Oh, yeah?
Who is a feather.
Okay. All right, tell us about that.
Well, Perry, Perry is the antagonist that you don't even know is the antagonist until like the last like five episodes, and she starts just really acting out. She's tripping for real. And it's just you know, I could never. I'm the person who picks up earthworms if they're in the sidewalk when it rains. I'm like, oh no, you're gonna get stepped on. So she's out here killing people. That was completely different. And then it was just, you know, very different, her mindset. Because I try to get into my character's mindset. So Perry's mindset was probably the most challenging to get into.
Okay. For those, like, for, you know, any actors watching or aspiring actors, anyone in the industry, you know, it's so important not to judge your character, right? Because you want to bring the authenticity to them or to it. Mm-hmm. So what's something that you do to kind of get into the mind of your character without saying, oh, you're rough, like without judging?
I think that, you know, it is important to do all the work that you would do on your, like with your character, that you would do with yourself. So the same way that we have to, we kind of judge ourselves. We look at ourselves and we're like, okay, I'm doing this for this reason. But if you take a step back, you're like, oh, but that is kind of rough. It's the same thing with your character. So I think that it's important to understand why your character is doing things and why your character feels validated in doing those things. Mm-hmm. Like, once you figure out, for Perry, for example, she's killing people, but she feels like she's doing it to save the love of her life and to, you know, get her family back from this curse took everything from her. So once you figure out their why, it's easy to stay in that place of not judging them, because they're not judging themselves in the way that you are. They're thinking that they're completely valid in what their thoughts are. And I think that's key to playing antagonists for sure.
Right. Yeah, that's very well put. So Vagrant Queen, right? We in here. We on sci-fi, which I want to say congratulations to, because you do not see a lot of Black lead females in sci-fi, in series, movies, whatever, in sci-fi in general, right? So that's incredible. Round of applause to you. So how was that audition process for you?
I auditioned via self-tape. Self-tape is like my thing. I'm kind of a self-tape queen. But I auditioned via self-tape, and I got the sides, I read them, and I clicked with her immediately. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'm off book after I read it one time. So then I knew, like, I really resonate with her. And, you know, with the tape, I wanted to make sure I showed the different aspects that I really enjoyed about the character, but also that I thought that they would want to see. So I made sure I included that she was active and agile and athletic. I made sure I included her snarkiness and her comedy. And honestly,
I just had fun because I was off book so fast. I was like, I'm ready and I know the words. So
that's all about layers, right?
Yeah, just adding layers. And I figured out how to add the layers in per scene. Okay. So as the audition as a whole was a conglomerate of growth for the character. So I really enjoyed my audition for Alita. I know my team to this day, they still reference it a lot. So I think they enjoyed it too, but I really was happy with that audition. Like the first scene, I had a fall from a ceiling in the scene. So I actually like jumped into the frame and fell into the frame. So it looked like I fell from the ceiling.
Nice.
And it was fun.
Come on. You better produce that self-tape. No, that's incredible. That's great. So it premiered March 27th. Are you guys, you're done filming the first season, correct? Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just kind of seeing how things go. Hopefully it gets greenlit for another season, or is it already in talks, or?
Inshallah. We are hoping that it gets greenlit for another season, and we're just working hard to, you know, get people's eyes on it.
Yeah,
because in the sci-fi community, it's not common to have a Black lead. It's not common to have LGBTQ, you know, relationships and characters in there. So it's honestly a show that's made in the sci-fi realm for people who don't normally watch sci-fi, who aren't normally used to certain sci-fi, you know?
Right.
And we've been battling with, you know, getting eyes on it that of people who are outside of sci-fi. So, yeah, it's just a matter of getting those eyes on there. And I think from there, people will really take to it. And a season two, we can keep going with this journey for you guys.
Hey, yeah, sci-fi is like the last frontier for inclusion, I feel like. It's like one of the last genres that we just need to really focus on and get that going. But I'd like to thank you so much for, you know, for your sharing everything, for joining me here in this conversation. It's been great. Hope you're staying healthy and staying safe over there. We're going to play a little game here. Okay, I got a quick game for you. All right. So I'm going to ask you five questions regarding sci-fi movie trivia. Okay.
I'm not good at this.
We're going to see how the queen does.
R&B songs. Are you sure we can't do R&B songs?
Come on, you double major in science. You're the queen in sci-fi. Come on, let's go. You got this.
All right,
first one, ready? In 2007's Transformers, okay?
Okay.
Who claimed this motto? Freedom is the right of all sentient beings. Are you ready? I'm going to give you multiple choice.
Okay.
Was it A, Bumblebee? 2, Megatron? Or C, Optimus Prime.
It's Optimus Prime. Is that right?
Correct. Yes, you got it. Yeah. Good job. All right. Here we go. Second one. What is the name of the company Neo works for in The Matrix? Is it A, Metamorphosis? B, Cynthia? Or C, Metacortex?
So y'all said meta twice, so it's probably one of the metas. This is how I take tests.
There you go.
meta cortex.
Hey, 2 out of 2. Come on. Come on, there you go. All right. This one's sci-fi-ish, kind of thriller-ish, okay? What is the title of the 2005 hit movie, The Exorcism of Blank? I can't give you multiple choice on this one.
I grew up in a very Christian household. I couldn't watch that movie.
It's a
the
name.
The Exorcism of...
You remember?
Do you want to know what just came to my mind that I know is wrong?
What?
Anne Frank. That ain't it. Why did y'all do this to me?
I should just give you it for how funny that was. right. It was Exorcism of Emily Rose. Do you remember that? You don't remember that film? Okay. All right. No worries. You're good. You got 2 out of 3 so far. Okay. 2 more questions. Okay. Ready? Mm-hmm. All right. Here we go. What are the good guys called in the movie Transformers?
There's the Decepticons and they're bad.
Yeah.
And then there are. Come on, because he says something roll out.
Right. Come on, you got it.
Why don't I?
That's with an A.
A? Autobots.
There you go. Autobots, roll out. All right. Last one, okay? Last one. In which 2001 movie did Ian McKellen play the character Gandalf the Grey?
First of all, I don't know actors by their names unless I met them. So.
Magneto from X-Men.
Oh, okay. Magneto. Okay.
From X-Men.
You said, when did he say what?
It's a 2001 movie. Mm-hmm. And his character was Gandalf the Grey.
Gandalf the Grey. I'm going to say Spider-Man. I don't know why that came to my head.
We got Spider-Man, Abe, and Frank. We got all types of stuff. All right. No, the answer to that was Lord of the Rings. The Fellowship of the Ring. Close. You got 3 out of 5. Good job. That was good.
That is a failing grade. 3 out of 5 is failing. And hey, also,
for an impromptu pop quiz, you did good.
I have not watched Lord of the Rings because it's so long.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been around.
Somebody just asked me if I watched it, and I was like, that's too long. I
don't Sir Ian McKellen. You're using your athletic side in this new series too, right? That because you've been an athlete for a while, family has been okay.
Yeah.
And so we can expect some. Did you do like your own stunts, or did you do some of your stunts?
I did 98% of my stunts.
Hey.
Two that I couldn't do because they were like, it's not right.
Right. Right. They're like, let's break someone else's leg, not your arm.
I'm like, I can do it.
That's awesome. All right, well, this is the last segment of the interview. It's all fast questions, okay? So this is the thing. It doesn't. So this
you
is whatever
some crazy pops answer.
I know this is whatever pops into your mind. So it's kind of like what we just did. Whatever pops into. All right, so I'm gonna ask you 5 okay. questions. Give me the first answer that pops into your mind, okay? Mm-hmm. What is your favorite word?
Literally.
Literally. Fair word.
That's the word I say all the time.
Oh, it is literally. Oh, it's literally. I thought it was a question. Got it. I'm here. We're here. Okay, what is something that turns you off?
Mouth sounds.
Mouths?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Yeah, that's kind of rough. What profession, other than your own, would you participate in?
Cardiothoracic surgeon.
Yeah, there you go. Whose life, if you had a chance right now, whose life would you trade places with?
Why is Cardi B popping up? Cardi B, that was the first thing in my head.
Coronavirus.
It's real.
Okay. That's a good trade place with that. All right, just going to throw this in. What profession would you not at all participate in?
Waste management.
That is a good
one. I hate taking out my own trash.
Good point. And last but not least, heaven exists, you get up to God, what would you like him to say to you?
He goes like, love and light, what up, though? Welcome.
What up, though?
He gonna say, he gonna know me, he gonna know.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining me, Adrian. It's been a pleasure having you on. This is just a quick spotlight. You want to take like 30 seconds or so just to I like to spotlight the guests, and they can have a last farewell to the audience, the viewers that are watching. Leave them with a little message of inspiration and encouragement, especially in what we're going through today.
Are you going to give me a lead-in, or am I just going to do this?
Oh, no, you just start. You go ahead.
All right. I was ready for, like, a drop or something. All right. All right. Thank you so much for having me, first of all. And you guys, stay encouraged. We are going to make it through this. Live in that silver lining. It's okay. We already know everything else is going on. It's okay to find the silver lining every day and to live in that happiness. So love and light, and then tune in Thursdays, 11 p.m. to Sci-Fi, and watch me on Vagrantly. Thank you.
Yes, go ahead and tune in. And go ahead and tell everyone where to find you, social media and all that good stuff.
Oh, find me by my name, Adrian Ray. That's A-D-R-I-Y-A-N-R-A-E.
Awesome. And folks, you can find me everywhere at I Am Danny Royce. Thank you so much for tuning in. Adrian, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. We love to see more of you. Make sure you tune in Thursday nights at 11 p.m. on Sci-Fi. Watch Vagrant Queen and support the Queen Adrian right here. And you can see us next week, same place, same time, here inside the Black Actors Studio. Thank you very much, guys.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.